Chapter 14.
Oh, how awful.
Asta breathed, and she bent down to pick Inger up before she cuddled the little dragon close, as if to comfort both of them.
What can we do to help?
Can you heal their wounds? I asked Kaas.
I'll try.
The sorceress looked at me with determined violet eyes. She was a stronger magician than she gave herself credit for, and I had faith she'd be able to fix the dragons. Their wounds were deep and old, but I had to believe their ability to fly would be restored.
I can't imagine being a dragon and not being able to fly.
Ira said with a shake of her head.
That must have been absolutely terrible for them.
I can't imagine that either. To be a creature of the sky and be constricted to the ground must have been agonizing.
No more agonizing than being forced to fuel this forge for centuries.
Kaas wrinkled her nose in disgust as she pulled out her spell book. Then the strawberry blonde sorceress set the book on the ground and leaned over top of it as she turned page after page looking for the right spell. I could sense the dragon's anticipation as he watched her work, and I knew he understood the spell was going to take a lot of magic, especially to heal all of them.
Here!
The sorceress blurted out a moment later, and she grinned up at me.
I found it! This should work.
What can we do to help? I asked with a smile.
I just need you to come stand with me. I'll do the reading of the spell, but having your power near me will help.
The great green dragon stepped forward then, and I could sense he was offering his power to help as well. He wanted his mate healed, and he'd do whatever he could to make it happen, even if it meant he may not get healed himself. He's offering for you to use his power, too, I told Kaas. Dragons didn't have power in the same sense that Kaas did as a sorceress, but they were inherently magical beings, so having one nearby could help fuel her spell. Kaas's magic also came, at least partially, from dragons, which was why our soul bond had increased her power so much.
That would be great.
Kaas smiled at the green dragon.
Actually, it would be helpful for you all to be touching.
The green dragon looked back at all the others and huffed through his nose, so they all lined up in a wide circle around us and made sure to touch one another, at least by the tail.
Thank you.
Kaas nodded to the dragon on her left.
May I?
She tentatively held her hand out to the green beast, and he nodded slightly and lowered his head down, so she could place her hand on his forehead. Kaas used her right hand to grab onto Asta, and I grabbed the white-haired elf girl's hand, too. Then I turned to the large blue female dragon on my right, and I smiled at her and held my hand out. She leaned down and closed her eyes, and I placed my hand on the shiny scales of her face. Her skin was velvety soft, and I found myself moving my hand back and forth as if I were petting her. When I realized what I'd done, I nearly stopped myself, but the dragon sighed and rested her head on the ground. A feeling of tiredness rushed through me until I felt like I was going to collapse too, but I knew the feeling of my palm on her forehead was comforting, so I kept it there, and I continued to pet her while Kaas started to perform her spell. The little dragons rushed up to us and landed on our shoulders so they could be part of the spell too, and I glanced back to see Ira standing a few feet away from us, smiling. I smiled back and nodded my head for her to join us. She may not have any magical abilities, but I was sure her being part of the circle wouldn't harm anything. The redhead bit her lip, but I nodded again, and she walked over to us. I let go of Asta's hand and grabbed onto Ira's. The elf girl looked at me with confused yellow eyes at first, but then she saw Ira, and her confusion turned to excitement as she smiled and took the redhead's hand. I never wanted Ira to feel left out simply because she wasn't magical. She didn't need magical abilities to help us. That had already been proven time and time again, so she was welcome to join our circle any time. Kaas continued to murmur the words to her spell, and after a few times through, I saw red magic sparkles rise up from her body. Then white sparkles rose from Asta's, and the two colors swirled together into the center of all the dragons. As the magic swirled, it seemed to grow larger and larger, and I watched as small amounts of magic were pulled off the dragons, too. The magic sparkles matched the dragons' colorings, and soon the magic tornado was a rainbow of colors and nearly 20 feet tall.
Roth?
Asta whispered. I glanced over to her, but she just looked down at my chest, so I followed her eyeline. I wasn't prepared to see magic sparkles coming off myself, but there they were. Only mine weren't like the other magic sparkles. Everyone else's, Aesir, dragon, elf, it didn't matter. Their magic was a single color that seemed to match them in some way. My sparkles, however, were all different colors. They nearly matched the rainbow tornado in the center of our circle, and I was all at once astonished and confused as to why my magic seemed so different from everyone else's. The magic all swirled together and grew even larger before it suddenly exploded outward. A bright glow coated the dragons, and then the dragons stepped back and expanded their wings for us to see. The webbing on their appendages had reformed, and my breath caught in my throat as I felt the dragons' complete astonishment and relief at having their wings back. The feeling was indescribable, and it nearly brought a tear to my eyes as I was overcome with their intense relief.
"We did it!"
Cass breathed as her wide purple eyes took in her work.
"You did it,"
Ira told her with a grin.
"I couldn't have done it without all of you,"
the strawberry blonde argued, and her cheeks flushed a faint pink.
"Rath, your magic looked just like the mixture of all of our magics."
"I never thought I had magic like that." I shook my head. "I've seen yours and Kars's and Prana's magic swirl around when you do spells, but I've never actually seen my own."
"Everyone who is magically inclined has some sort of magic that can come out of them like that."
"But yours are all one color." I frowned. "Why is mine all the colors?"
"I bet it's because your power is being able to connect with dragons,"
Asta explained with a sweet smile.
"Yes."
Cass nodded vigorously.
"Your magic comes from the dragons, and since they're all different colors, it makes sense yours would be too."
The great green dragon walked over to us then, and he lowered his head and pressed his nose into Cass's whole body.
"Oh."
Cass chuckled and patted his scales.
"You're welcome."
The great beast then turned to me and bowed his head deeply. I bowed in return, and he and the rest of the dragons stepped away from the group and spread their wings. The male let out a loud, excited cry, and the others followed suit. Then they flapped their giant wings and pushed off into the sky, and they twirled, squawked, and danced around in the air with excitement.
"I think they're happy,"
Asta smiled. "They are," I nodded. Blar took off from my shoulders toward the large dragons, and the other little dragons followed him. They joined the adults for a moment, and they danced around with them before they flew back down to land on our shoulders as the adults made their way toward the mountains of Svartalheim.
"I hate that they're staying here still."
"No, I don't like it either, but it's where they want to be."
"At least they know to be careful now,"
Asta shrugged.
"The dwarves won't be able to trick them again. And now they'll be able to protect themselves better since they know the dwarves are after them." "That's true."
"Come on," I said as I looked around at all the destruction. "Let's go home." Blar closed his eyes and made a portal for us. But just then the sound of metal clamoring drew my attention.
"What was that?"
Asta whispered, and she looked at me with panicked yellow eyes. Instead of answering, I glanced around to see where the noise had come from. Everything went deathly quiet, but then another ruckus made me whip my head around. A piece of metal twirled and landed on the ground, and a few feet away was a dark-haired dwarf making a run for a small door I hadn't noticed before.
"There he is!"
Cass yelled, but I was already headed toward the little creature. Before I could get to him, Blar swooped down and blasted fire in his path, so he was forced to turn around. The dwarf's wild brown eyes met mine, and he let out a little growl as he pulled his sword from his hip.
"You'll never take me alive!"
he yelled, and he ran toward me with his weapon at the ready. Part of me wanted to swipe him with my blade right there, but he was the last of the dwarves in this area, and I also wanted to see what he knew about the weapons for the Elf King. Instead of slicing at him with my sword, I nodded to Blar. The little dragon breathed another stream of fire at the dwarf's back, and he screamed in pain and dropped his weapon, which gave me the opportunity I needed to scoop him up. I gripped his body tightly so his arms were pressed against his chest, and he struggled and turned his head from side to side, but he wasn't going anywhere.
"Rat, what are you doing?"
"I want to see what he knows about the weapons these assholes made for the Elf King," I growled, and I looked right at the little dwarf.
"I'll never tell you a thing!"
he screeched through gritted teeth. Without my prompting, Blar landed on my shoulders and breathed a lick of flame right at the dwarf in my hand. His fire couldn't hurt me, but it burned the dwarf's cheeks and face, and his beard was shortened by a good few inches.
Okay!
The dwarf gasped after Blah lit up with the flame. What do you know about the weapons?
Cairnliff was commissioned to make them,
he said, and I was almost astonished by how quickly he'd gone back on his vow to not tell us a thing.
What else?
I asked, and I squeezed my hand tighter around him. He groaned, and I released my grip a bit.
I'll tell you whatever you want to know. Just promise you'll let me go.
Fine. I nodded. I promise.
Wrath?
Asta gasped, but I heard Ira shush her as I continued to stare at the small creature in my hand. What do you know? And it better be good. Blah nodded and leaned toward the dwarf, and the small creature cringed in response before he turned his wary brown eyes back to me.
The group is trying to bring back the true king of the Nine Realms.
The true king?
Vinra,
he whispered, and his eyes took on a fevered light.
He is the one true king.
My eyebrows pulled together with confusion, but I'd focus on the details later. Right now, I needed to get as much information as possible. And what group is trying to bring him back?
The Underground Society?
Dwarves? Elves? What? I asked, and Blah huffed and leaned in closer to intimidate the dwarf.
All of them!
The dwarf shrieked and cringed away from the little blue dragon.
There are citizens from every realm!
Every realm?
Yes, even Vanaheim. That's where we got the steel enchanted for the Elf King's weapons.
Oh my!
Cass gasped behind me. There's an entire group of people who worship Vinra.
He is the one true king!
The little dwarf cried out, and he struggled harder against my grasp.
He will be restored, and the realms will be ours again!
The small creature grew wilder by the second, and it was suddenly too slippery to hold on to. The dwarf jumped out of my hand, but before he could hit the ground, Blah released a huge flame that engulfed him and fried him to a crisp.
Oh.
Ira wrinkled her nose at the smell of the dwarf's burning flesh.
So there's an underground group of Vinwar worshippers we didn't know about?
Cass asked dryly, and she put her hand on her forehead.
Ugh, of course there is.
We'll figure that out later, I said with a shake of my head. Right now, let's get home.
Yes, we've destroyed the weapons the Elf King wanted. The fort has also been destroyed, so they won't be working any steel around here anytime soon. There isn't much else we can do here at the moment. We should see if Prayna knows anything about this society.
Good idea. We'll talk to her tomorrow.
Yes, today is a busy day for her.
Cass nodded. Blah, let's go home. The little dragon closed his eyes and created a portal, and then the girls all grabbed my hands and stepped through. As soon as I crossed through, I smelled the familiar plants and citrus trees of our courtyard. It was only midday, and the sun was high in the sky above us. Blah and Inga took off to frolic in the courtyard, and they chased one another and tumbled around in a mass of blue and red. Svas looked at Ira and pounced up and down on her shoulder.
Go!
The redhead chuckled and gestured out to the courtyard. Svas let out a squeal of excitement and took off toward Blah and Inga. Ufe hopped down from Kars's arms and ran after her, and pretty soon the four of them were all playing. I shook my head and made my way over to the fire. It was only embers now, so I grabbed a couple pieces of wood and threw them on top so I could make us something for lunch.
Wrath,
Ira said, and I could hear the nervousness in her voice. Yes? I asked, and my eyebrows pinched together as I turned around and looked at her.
I can't wait any longer.
Wait, what do you mean?
I want us to get married,
she announced, and she held her arms out wide and looked around the area.
I want this to be my home. Forever, and I want to be so bonded with you.
Oh. Happiness overtook me, and I couldn't help the grin that came over my face. Oh, we can get married whenever you'd like.
You still have to ask my father.
She reminded me, and I felt my grin droop slightly. Right.
It's still kind of early in the day.
Asta smiled.
Why don't we go do that now? Oh, yes.
Cass agreed, and she looked at Ira.
Will your father be home today? I'm sure he will. He always stays home whenever the council has a big day. He was never one for crowds. How odd.
Cass tilted her head to one side.
Who did you say your father was again? Ermaine Pyre.
Ira told her.
Wasn't he a Vorban leader a long time ago? I think my father knows him.
He does. That's how I knew about your father's shop. My dad's been taking me there since I was a child.
You were a Vorban leader too.
Asta smiled.
I like that you followed in your father's footsteps.
I always wanted to be just like him.
Ira admitted with a faint blush.
I admire him a lot. I'm sure you're a lot like him. Thank you.
The redhead nodded.
If he's going to be home, we should go see him so Rath can ask for your hand in marriage.
My heart rate sped up at the thought of it, and my palms grew sweaty with nervousness. But it was something I needed to do, and I wasn't going to let Ira down. It didn't matter that I didn't have a family name to give her. I would give her everything else in the world. All right. I smiled. Let's go.
Are you nervous?
A little, but it's something I need to do.
Don't be nervous. He's going to love you, just like I do.
I hope so. I was going to make some lunch for us. Should we eat first?
I'm sure my father would love to have us over for lunch.
Okay. I called the dragons over from where they were playing, and they quickly settled down into our laps as we climbed into the cart and started down the stone street. The little dragons all easily fell asleep, and the girls chatted, but all I could think about was what I was going to say to Ira's father. I'd never imagined myself getting married, so I'd never thought about meeting a woman's father and having to ask for her hand. What did I say? It felt odd that our first encounter would be me asking him for his daughter's hand in marriage, but Ira wanted this to happen quickly, and I would do whatever I could to make her happy, even if that meant nervously asking her father if she could marry me. A sudden thought made my eyes widen, and my heart sped up with even more anxiety. "Oh, Ira," I said, and I turned to look at the redhead. "I didn't change out of my battle clothes, neither did any of you. Are we dressed appropriately?"
"Oh, I didn't think about that."
Cass frowned.
"Perhaps this isn't the best thing to wear when asking for a marriage proposal."
"Trust me, my father will love to see us all in our battle gear."
The redhead grinned.
"He'll probably ask you about your sword, too."
"Oh, you think so?"
"He's kind of a collector."
Ira shrugged.
"And it's a nice sword. I'm sure he'll be interested in it."
So, not only was Ira's father a legendary warband leader, but he also had a collection of sharp objects I was sure he knew how to use extremely well. I gulped, but flicked the reins of the one horns to keep them going down the street toward Ira's home. The streets of Asgard were busier than usual with the council meeting today, and there was a constant stream of people going in and out of the city as we made our way through the streets. Instead of going through the market, I led us around the long way. It was more time-consuming, but I doubted there would be any room for a cart in the market right now. Since the Asgardians from out in the country didn't get to the market often, they were probably swarming it like they did every year. Then not only were they there to shop, but some of them brought their own wares to sell as well. There was one man who came every year and sold handmade jewelry. I could never afford any before, and I never truly had a reason to buy any either, but it was always beautiful, and I liked to admire it from afar. Now I had a reason to buy from him, as well as the cash to do it, and I thought I might find him soon and purchase some jewelry for my women. I wasn't sure where Ira lived, but the longer we were on the cart, the harder my heart beat in my chest. The thump-thump of it was all I could hear until Ira's voice drew my attention.
"Rath!"
"Oh, yes?" I asked as I turned to her. "What's wrong?"
"You needed to turn back there."
She laughed as she pointed behind us. "Oh, I'm sorry." I shook my head and pulled on the one horn's reins to turn them around.
"You really are nervous, aren't you?"
"Ah, just a bit. I've never even thought about asking for someone's hand in marriage before. I'm not sure what to say."
"Just tell the truth."
Ira smiled.
"Say you love me and you want to be with me. And that you'll protect her. And always take care of her and make her good meals. And babies. He'll want to know how soon he'll be a granddaddy."
Right. My eyes widened and I nodded. That seemed like a lot of information to remember. And I wasn't sure I'd be able to think of it all under pressure, but I'd certainly try. If the girls suggested that was what I should say, then I trusted them. As I turned the cart around, I searched for the driveway, but there were several all in a row, each with a more extravagant gait than the last. Which one is it? I asked as I looked over the gates to see if there was any indication of a family name on them.
The first one right here.
Iris said with a point. The driveway she pointed to wasn't the most extravagant, but it was certainly up there with the rest. It had a beautiful iron gate with a lion encrusted in the center, and the cat's eyes shone a bright red with what I assumed were rubies or some other red gemstones.
Wow, it's beautiful. I guess I never noticed too much.
Ira shrugged.
It's just always been home to me. My home was never this beautiful, even when my parents were alive.
Asta said in that innocent way of hers.
My dad worked a lot when he was younger.
Ira said with a smile.
So he made a lot of money. I'm sure your parents were great, too, though. Yes, we grew herbs for them to sell at the market.
Asta nodded.
We didn't make a lot of money, but they were always around. That sounds nice. I think I'd trade money for time with my father. Yes, certainly.
Asta smiled softly. The driveway was a simple dirt path with dense forest on either side. We were close to the countryside, so I wasn't surprised to see Ira's family had so much property, but I was surprised it was in the incredibly nice part of Asgard. I knew her father was a famous warband leader, but I didn't think a hardened man like him would be the kind to want to live with all the wealthy people. Then again, I'd never had money, so my perspective on wealthy people could have been skewed. I always imagined they only wore fine clothes and ate the fanciest of foods. But that wasn't the case with Ira, so I had no reason to think it was the case with her father either. As we rode up the driveway, a huge wooden structure came into view.
Is this your home? Yes.
Ira nodded.
My father built it.
He built that? I asked with a shake of my head. The building was huge, and the craftsmanship was impeccable. It was two stories high, built out of a deep red-colored wood, with beautiful carvings on the trim and doors. A large balcony-style porch wrapped around the second story, and I could just barely see two figures standing near the railing and waving down at us. Some horses grazed in the field to the left of the house. There was a stable in that direction, too, so as we got closer, I pulled the cart over there. My heart was beating out of my chest by this point. We were here, and now the situation seemed incredibly real.
You can let the Van Horns go.
Ira told me as we hopped out of the cart.
They can graze with the horses.
All right. It only took a moment for me to turn the one horns loose, and once that was done, we all followed Ira toward the house. Before we made it there, a tall man burst through the front door with a loud, mirthful laugh. He was at least my height, with long, dark red hair and a thick beard to match. Green eyes that matched Ira's sat behind his bushy red eyebrows, and several scars adorned his forehead and cheeks. His long jet-black tunic was short-sleeved, so I could see even more scars on his hands and arms, and even though it was spring, he wore a pair of long pants and boots to match. A short sword hung at his hip, and if he was anything like his daughter, which I suspected he was, he probably had several more weapons hidden on him somewhere.
Father!
Ira laughed, and she ran forward and hugged him.
What about me?
A beautiful woman asked as she walked out the door. Ira's mother looked at once nothing alike and exactly like her daughter. Instead of red hair, she had thick black locks that hung down to her waist, eyes the light blue of the ocean, and a long light brown tunic that trailed slightly behind her. The woman's hair and eyes were nothing like Ira's, but the features of their faces were nearly identical.
Mother.
Ira chuckled and hugged her as well. The couple embraced their daughter, and they all laughed for a moment before Ira's mother turned to us.
You brought friends.
The older woman said with a smile.
And you are?
Hello, Mrs. Pyre. I gave a small bow. I'm Rath.
Caspier. And I'm Asta.
The elf girl added with a wide grin.
It's a pleasure to meet you. You as well, Asta. I'm Aline, and Caspia, you're Ramir's girl, aren't you? Yes, ma'am.
Cass nodded.
How is your father? He's well, thank you.
The strawberry blonde said politely.
Don't let her fool you.
Ira smirked and nudged her mother.
He's as old and kooky as ever.
Ha! That's what I like to hear.
Her father laughed.
Oh, everyone. This is my father, Ermaine.
Ira introduced us with a small gesture.
Good to meet you, sir.
I bowed again. And you? He held his hand out for me to shake and looked me up and down. Oh, that's a nice sword you've got there. Enchanted? Yes, sir. I nodded. Just then, Blah walked over to Aline and put his front paws on her legs. Inga, Ufa, and Svas followed suit, and they all sat at her feet and begged for pets.
Oh, and who are these precious little critters?
Aline cooed, and she leaned down to pet the dragons, though to her they appeared as small dogs.
The large one is Blar,
Iris said with a point.
Then there's Inger, Ufe, and the little one is Svas. Such good names for good girls and boys.
Aline smiled and scratched under the dragons' chins.
They're not that good. I'm sure they're darlings, isn't that right?
Blah nodded firmly, and Aline laughed.
You'll see. Just put some food in front of them and they'll turn into little monsters. We were just about to take lunch out on the balcony. Won't you all join us? I was hoping we'd be in time for lunch.
Ira grinned.
This one.
Aline giggled and pointed to her daughter.
Always hungry, just like her father. Yes, her hair matches his exactly. It does.
The black-haired woman smiled. Somehow I could tell she'd been around elves before. She had an amused look on her face, but it wasn't cruel or judgmental, so I knew Asta was welcomed here. It wasn't common for elves and Aesir to mingle like we were, especially since Odin's peace with the Elf King was still so new. But Ira's parents were clearly quite old, so I was sure they'd had plenty of encounters with elves before this. The two of them had some small lines on their foreheads and under their eyes, which showed their age, and I wondered when they decided to have Ira, and if she was their only child. Aline led us into her home, and my breath caught in my chest as I took in how amazingly beautiful it was. The entire house was made of polished wood, even the ceilings and floors, and it was even more impressive when I remembered Ira's father had been the one to build the house. There were portraits on the walls of their family, and I smiled as we passed one that portrayed a young Ira between her parents. Her sweet, innocent face was absolutely adorable. The redhead caught me looking and raised an eyebrow at me when I pointed and smiled, but I saw her face grow slightly red with embarrassment. "Your home is lovely," I said as we walked.
"Oh, thank you, Rath. Rath, now is that short for something?"
Yes, ma'am. My full name is Volrath, but everyone calls me Rath."
Yes."
She nodded and led us up a beautiful ornate staircase.
"I like Volrath. That's a good name. Powerful."
"Thank you," I smiled.
"And your family?"
I don't have any."
"Oh, dear."
She turned round and frowned at me.
"I'm so sorry. When did they pass?"
I'm not sure if they have." I chuckled as I tried to make light of the situation. "I never knew them." "An orphan?" Ermaine asked, and he raised a bushy red eyebrow at me. "Yes, sir," I answered in the most confident voice I could muster. "Ah, yes," he nodded and continued up the stairs. "And you never picked out a surname of your own?" "I guess I never needed one," I shrugged. I knew I could legally pick out a family name for myself since I didn't have one, but I'd never really thought about it before. It wasn't something I felt the need to do since I was never trying to impress anyone. Some orphans were taken into families and given their last name, so they officially became a member of the family, but that wasn't the case for me. I'd been on my own for a long time. Whenever I told people I was an orphan, they always seemed to pity me. But I never wanted their pity, nor did I feel like I needed it. I had a good life. I worked hard to get my own property and build my own cottage and garden, and now I had 4 dragons and 3 beautiful women to call my own. There were plenty of people who had families who were worse off than I was, so I didn't think I needed any pity from anyone. I was happy with my life. "You should consider it," her father said, and he turned to smile at me. "It's good to have one to get a job."
"Rat was actually in my warband." "Oh, yes."
Aline turned round and frowned.
"I ran into Prena the other day, and she said you've taken some time off." "I have."
Ira nodded.
"Hmm."
Aline raised an eyebrow at her daughter, but It was clear she wasn't going to push her to say why.
And are you enjoying yourself? I am.
Ira grinned.
Well, good. My break is good every now and then. Actually, I think I'm going to leave my position for good.
Really? Her father asked, but he didn't sound angry or upset, merely curious.
You worked so hard to get there.
Yes, but I have other things to do now.
The redhead explained with a vague shrug.
Whatever makes you happy, dear.
Eileen put a hand on Ermaine's arm and smiled softly at her daughter. They led us through a large open area at the top of the stairs, where several chairs sat near another fireplace, and we walked out to the huge balcony and found seats at a huge table that sat 12.
Father, I wish you would put this table away when you're not using it.
Ira said with a shake of her head as she sat to the left of her father.
I made this table and I'll use it when I please, daughter.
He huffed in a harsh voice, but his expression was playful.
Fine.
Ira shrugged.
But it makes your guests uncomfortable when they're sitting at a table meant for 12.
It's just extra room for anyone who happens to show up and join us. Like you all did today.
Ira smiled and rolled her eyes. I picked a seat next to Ira, and Cass sat next to me while Asta sat on the other side near Aline. Suddenly Blah's little face popped up in the chair next to Ira, and my eyes went wide with shock and embarrassment. I narrowed my eyes at the little dragon and nodded for him to get down, but he just looked around and purposefully ignored my gaze. Inger appeared next to him a second later, and then Svas climbed over top of both of them to try and get a good view. At least Ufe was good. And then he poked his head up too. Blood rushed to my face with embarrassment as I tried to discreetly gesture for the dragons to get down.
Rat?
Eileen said, and her dark eyebrows pinched together as she looked at me.
Is everything all right?
I think he's gesturing to the little critters who have invited themselves to lunch,
Ermaine said with amusement.
What?
Eileen asked, and she looked around Asta until she saw all four of the dragons, all in the same chair, as if they were their own guest. Ira's mother put her hand over her mouth as she let out a mirthful laugh at the sight of them, and I was relieved she found it so funny, because everyone else began to join her.
Well, it's a good thing I made plenty.
Aline chuckled, and she retrieved some bowls from a small hutch on the other side of the balcony and set them in front of each of us. Then she pulled a lid off a large pot I hadn't noticed until then, and the incredible smell of seafood filled the air. My mouth watered and my stomach rumbled at the scent of it. The dinner smelled like something out of the marketplace, and I was suddenly incredibly hungry and excited to eat.
That smells incredible.
Cass sighed, and her eyes closed slightly as she breathed in the scent.
Yes, it smells almost as good as Rat's dinners.
Asta smiled, and everyone else stifled a laugh.
Thank you, dear.
Aline patted Asta on the shoulder kindly, sat down, and flicked a napkin out to put it on her lap.
Rat must be quite the cook. Oh, he is. He makes us all sorts of different things to eat, and it's always very good. I make tea for us, but Ira and Cass don't cook. Well, Cass does cook sometimes, but she usually uses spells to make her food taste better. Asta! Oh, it's all right.
Aline shrugged.
She's just being honest. There's no shame in not being a good cook, especially when you're a great sorceress.
Aline flashed Cass a wink and dished up a bowl.
Thank you.
Cass blushed and looked down slightly.
And I can't say I'm the least bit surprised to hear Ira can't cook either.
Ermaine laughed.
She was always out in the field practicing with me instead of inside when her mother was cooking.
Yes, she was far more interested in fighting than she ever was in being in the kitchen.
Aline smiled.
What can I say?
Ira grinned and shrugged.
Fighting is more exciting.
I'm sure you're right about that.
No, I don't know.
Aline dished food into Asta's bowl.
Cooking is an adventure all its own. I'm sure Rat knows what I mean.
Yes, of course. I nodded. Cooking is one of my favorite things to do.
Yet you were in Ira's warband?
Ermaine asked. I was.
Why not be a vendor at the market?
He asked seriously, and he held his bowl out so his wife could put a large spoonful in it.
Some of those men make quite a living.
I guess it never occurred to me, I said, and cocked my head to the side as I thought. I cook for myself, and I enjoy it. Maybe I feared if I started to cook for someone else, someone I didn't care for, I wouldn't enjoy it as much.
Yes, I think that's true.
Aline smiled.
I don't think I'd like to cook for strangers. I like to cook for the ones I love.
Me too, I agreed. So, you love my daughter? Ermaine asked with a joking half-smile.
Father!
Ira laughed and smacked him playfully on the arm. But can't I ask? This is the first time you've brought a man home to meet us. I'm curious.
You can eat your lunch, old man.
Ira told him in a playfully threatening tone. Whatever you say, daughter. He looked down at his meal for a second. But then he glanced back up, and his eye caught mine. I hadn't expected this huge warband leader to be this playful, but it was fun to watch. He and Ira were funny together, and I once again realized there was a lot I didn't know about her. I wanted to know everything, though, her parents included. Her mother seemed incredibly kind, and though her father was fierce and obviously skilled at many things, he was humble and almost easygoing. I hadn't expected any of this from her parents after seeing how extravagant their home was, but I was pleasantly surprised by how welcoming they were. Aline dished up bowls for the dragons, and they attacked them as they always did. Finally, she dished up my bowl, and we all dug into the food she'd prepared. The base was a creamy rice that smelled of mushrooms and some other enticing spices, and on top of that were lumps of softly cooked crustaceans soaked in butter and herbs. The result was a delicious dish that melted in my mouth and nearly caused me to moan with pleasure. I contained myself for the sake of Iris' parents, but I made a mental note to ask her mother for the recipe. The dish was so delicious I had to force myself to eat as slowly as everyone else, when all I really wanted to do was devour it in one go.
This is very good,
Cass told Aline with a smile.
Yes, delicious,
Asta nodded. Oh, it is. I'd love the recipe.
Of course, Rat. I'd love to have you cook for us sometime, too. It's always nice to try another cook's dishes.
I'm afraid I'm not nearly as good of a cook as you are. This meal is marvelous.
I believe your little friends like it, too.
Aline chuckled and looked over to where the dragons had made quite the mess. Oh, I'm sorry about them. I shook my head. I'll clean it up, of course.
Oh, it's no concern, Rat.
Aline waved a hand dismissively.
We raised Ira. We're no strangers to messes. Mother! What?
Aline shrugged.
It's true. I was a child. Yes, you were.
Her mother grinned.
A wary, messy child. She's messy now, too.
Asta nodded.
Asta! When am I messy? You always leave your bowl and cup near the fire instead of rinsing them out.
Ira stopped, and her face turned beet red with embarrassment.
I didn't realize I did that. It's all right.
Asta smiled.
I like you, so I usually just clean them for you. Forgive her.
Aline told Asta, and she smiled and put her hand on the elf girl's shoulder.
My daughter always has more on her mind than cleaning. Yes, she is a great warrior. I admire her fighting skills very much. Thank you, Asta.
Ira grinned and lifted her chin higher.
Just not your cleaning skills.
The elf girl added with an innocent smile, and she took a bite of her food. Ira's happy expression quickly turned into a playful glare, and her father burst into laughter at the elf girl's comment. At the very least, her father seemed to be in a good mood, so I hoped my asking for his daughter's hand in marriage would go over smoothly. It wasn't long until we'd all finished our lunches, and I helped Aline clear the table and bring out some sweet strawberry tea she made.
So, father?
Ira said once her mother and I sat down again. What is it, daughter? He asked with a half-smile, and he took a drink of the red tea.
Rat has something he'd like to ask you,
she said before she glanced directly at me.